100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. I should probably come up with some sort of long-winded ramble or rant or whatever, but every time I do it, it just gets me in a place that's like, I don't want to be there. Call a taxi. Probably drive away. Well, the weekly challenge is where I post a topic, you come up with a story, put them all together, listen, and then get inspired to do the next topic, and so on and so on and so on. The whole list of upcoming topics is up at the website. Did I mention it earlier? Yeah, I did. So, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do on the subject of... Shit, I can't even remember what it is. Oh, I've got nothing. I got my coffee here. I haven't put Bailey's in it. For Valentine's Day, I got a bunch more of, what is that stuff you burn? Incense. So I've got the incense going. Got candles, but I haven't lit them. I've got so many things I can burn. I wish I could bring them into work. I'm telling you. I spilled Tarani syrup on the carpet at work the week that would not end. I just get fucking things up. And then I spill cherry syrup on the floor. It's, oh, great. It's just, this stuff tastes like cherry and it stains. And does the room smell like cherry? No. So I got out the vinegar, scrubbed it out, then I Febreze the shit out of the room. And it was like, everyone's trying to be nice. Like, oh, no, it doesn't bother me. And by the time 3 o'clock rolls around, everyone's off in other conference rooms avoiding the room. I feel like such an asshole. I can't believe I did that. I need to do these refills in the sink. So, I'm going to put a little note to myself. Do the refill in the sink, you dumbass. Because apparently I don't learn. That was the least of it. So, how are you guys doing? What's up with you? I guess you're writing stories. I've seen that Norval Joe has got his Pryor podcast going. Muncie's still got his Broken Escalator. When are we going to graduate to Broken People Mover? Broken Subway? Broken Elevator? Or, I don't know, just Broken Podcast right now, really. I should probably just hang things up for a bit and let you guys take over, okay? So, here we go. A story for you, I think it's Muncie. So, Muncie, our biggest president sale ever, 70% off. 12% off coupon, but it's 70%. Overstock, you are confusing me. How about we just go with Muncie? Tell us a story.
Greetings, Februarians. Muncie here, coming at you with more Februaties and another 100-word story. Booyah! Depeche Mode by Christopher Monroe. I've switched to Depeche Mode and All's Right in the World, because I could listen to Depeche Mode all week, every week, forever. As you well know. My opinions on the band are known by anyone who's ever seen me at the club. After all, they're just incredibly good. Music for the masses at the moment, and loving it. Every track is genius, especially... But none of this is new information. What am I trying to do, after all? What am I trying to say? I'm not trying to tell you anything you didn't know when you woke up today. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. Thus ends my week, Februarians. And with luck, yours went as well as mine. Also, with luck, mine went well. Because frankly, I record these in advance, and I don't know if my week went well or not yet.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 460, and unlike the topic, which is I've Got Nothing, I've got two stories for you. The first is called The Destructive Force of a Tornado. Mary fastened an earring as she opened the front door to the babysitter. Thanks for coming over. I assure you that Sean is no trouble at all. How old is he? Asked Caitlin. He's 5, but very mature for his age. He's quiet. Just then a child started wailing in the next room. Well, usually. He's well-behaved, entertains himself with his toys, and puts everything back when he's finished. Caitlin followed Mary down the hallway to the den. Sitting on the floor was a child with a mischievous grin on his face, surrounded by Legos, toy cars, several jigsaw puzzles jumbled together, and the remains of a coffee table book that had been systematically shredded. "No trouble, you say?" Caitlin said. Mary looked at her son. "I've got nothing." My second story is called The Ultimate Weapon. The terrorist carried a box containing a small sphere into the apartment, where his colleague was assembling a bomb. "Praise be to Allah," the first said, setting the box in front of the second. "You can stop work on the bomb now, as I have something better." The second peered at the sphere. "You have brought us an empty piece of glass." The first looked annoyed. "Not empty, my friend. It's filled with a powerful explosive, called nothing. I'm assured this is more destructive than plastique. You've heard of matter and antimatter, have you not? This is nothing, and the principle is the same. When it comes in contact with something, a big explosion happens." The bomb maker looked skeptical. "Where did you find this marvel?" "On eBay, of course. I'm assured it is the genuine article." Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Good morning. This is Richard, and this week's topic was I've Got Nothing. Sadly, I do have something, and that something is a rather nasty cold, so I do apologize in advance. However, I will struggle manfully through until the bitter end. This is George's story, part 93, Emotional Roller Coaster. Over the next 15 minutes, George experienced a full range of emotions, from disbelief and bewilderment to outrage, anger, and eventually resignation. Weird as recent events had been, the explanation he was now receiving was beyond the realms of possibility. With every word that each of the men spoke, he found himself losing his grasp on what little sense of reality he now clung to. "So, George, is there anything you'd like to ask us?" "No," he replied quietly. "I've got nothing." He became aware the sneering woman was again stood at his side, only now he understood her disdain. Here's my second story. Got nothing. I've got nothing. No money, no friends or family, nowhere to call home, not even a pair of shoes to call my own right now. It's not an easy life, but I get by. The odd dime from passers-by, handouts from the soup kitchen, and you'll be surprised what home comforts you can find, even out here on the street. Sure, I've got nothing. But that means no job, no responsibilities, and no commitments, no expectations, and no disappointments. I've even had people tell me they envy me. And you know what? They don't know a damn thing. And here's my final story. Hopefully not my final one forever, but just my final one for today. It's called Guilty. I've got nothing to say in my defense, Your Honor. But before you pass sentence, let me ask you just to pause a minute and consider whether you or any other reasonable person would have done differently in the same circumstances. The judge looked at me curiously. Then he spoke. It was indeed a unique set of circumstances, and considering the evidence before the court, there was little else that you could have done. Indeed, any reasonable person would probably have done the same. However, regarding what I would do, I've got nothing to say. You're going down, sunshine. That's me done. So until next week, goodbye. I'm off to crawl into a corner and die.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got updates. Movement. Spate passes Jeffrey of Great Heights to take the 26th position. Lizzie moves ahead of Cliff, Uncle Monster, to become the 14th monkey. Jeffrey is now the 6th monkey, rocketing past Thomas and takes his place next to Richard. We have 7 active authors in the top 10. Tom, Planet Z, Phil, Zachman, Richard, Jeffrey, and Chris, with Tura in the 11th slot. Closing in on Iron, we have John at 58, Lizzie at 76, Tura at 73, Richard at 92. Story total, over 7,500. Story average, 22.99. We are one healthy podcast. And I've got 2 stories tonight. The first, a good piece of advice. Many years ago, I apprenticed for a cabinet maker. Much like Anakin Skywalker, I was sorrowfully too old to fully integrate into the relationship. The best Mr. Russell could do, oddly enough, was prepare me for my upcoming divorce. He had been adopted into a rich Chicago meatpacking family. His choice of brides came from deep within the Junior League A-list. Brushing his secret sealing oil on a drawer, he said, "I was miserable for 10 years. The only way out was to walk away from everything." Standing in the empty apartment, I conciliatorily mused, "I've got nothing." And the next story, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 93. "Sparky, what do you have?" "I've got nothing." The E-meter, while pegged out, showed no sign of Timmy's presence. "Duke, where's Timmy?" "It's pretty fuzzy, Pilgrim, but it seems he's in a cascade time loop." "That means..." said Senator Smith just before blinking out. "I was never here," finished Dino Mod. Both Bannister and Proctor made a mad dash for the Tamburlaine. Just as he laid his hand on the box, his comrades vanished, replaced by El Cid and the 40 Thieves. Guns drawn, firing. "Too late," said the doctor. "Too late," said the bandit. Then came the flash. And that's it for this week. The reason I don't ramble is I get paid to ramble. I'm a teacher.
This is Serendipity, and here's my story for this week. His eyes burned into me across the desk. "We know you did it. You have motive, the means, and you're a cold-hearted, calculating bitch. Just confess, and make it easy for all of us." I smiled. "Where's your evidence, detective? What do you have that's going to nail me?" "You know I've got nothing yet, but trust me, I'll find it." "Oh, I know you will." I stood to leave the room, and sooner than you expect, I muttered under my breath. He snarled at me and drained his coffee, along with the poison I'd slipped him.
Hello everyone, this is Lizzie, and here is my story for this week on the topic, "I've got nothing." Two lonely hearts pulled together by circumstances and pain. They talked and danced. They shared their stories and their moments. They shared the others in their lives who didn't know they were being shared. They shared and got closer. They got as close as that elusive closeness of nothingness, with nothing but fragments of lives and the excitement of the unknown, of warm familiarity, of love. Loneliness is a high price to pay for the determination of commitment. So they decided to seize the moment, not caring for anyone else but themselves, in a selfish illusion of nearness. This was my story for this week, taught by my blog at lizziegoodcuff.blogspot.com. and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Hello, Anima here with my story, VD1840. Emma looked at the homemade card, 12 hand-drawn hearts in varying states of artistry. Some were neat, others more of a child's scrawl. Holiday cards were in fashion. Inside, the text was brief. Joseph, for all that you do and all you provide, we love you more every day. What do you think? Anything else we should say? From around the room. Looks great. I have nothing more to add. Can we use the purple ink? As Emma was the first and oldest, she signed first, then organized the other sister wives to sign the simple Valentine's Day card. Thank you very much. Here's some backstory to Valentine's Day. Exchanging cards has been a tradition since 1400, started in Europe, and the first commercial cards were in 1849, so this is a little surmisation of what might have been going on beforehand. Thank you very much. Hope you had a great day today.
Across America, starting at...
You are now tuned to Channel Spate, where Spate has a 100-word story based on the prompt of I've Got Nothing. It's called Snow in February. Let's dig into it now.
Dim's dog Bummer did it. Should have known better. Leaving him alone in the Chevy while we worked the third shift. He ate the candy, chewed the flowers, and pissed all over the back seat, thoroughly soaking the Hallmark card that played Barry Manilow when you opened it. Dimitri, your dog sucks. Dim shrugged the shrug of a man that had nothing to contribute. Now here I was, meeting Snow at the Denny's for our Valentine's dinner, her breakfast, and I've got nothing for her. Nothing. But she smiles that smile so lovely. And in that moment, I knew she was everything.
Down in this waking soul, a big door's been closed. A window like the promises is opening wide for sure.
Well, that's it. Thank you listeners for listening and thank you Lawrence for hosting. Hope everyone's Valentine's Day was better than a wet Barry Manilow. Until next time.
I hear the Roadshow podcast with Hugh and Kelly will have its 300th episode this week and would like me to send something in. You four, Snark Dog Kent, and the Space Turtle, Eom, had introduced me to Drabbles, but also have done many good things, so eventually the listeners of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge will forgive them for that. Maybe I could start with, this is Zach Man. You might know me from disturbing such chat rooms as Snark Infested Waters and Bear Crawling, but I would just be stealing that introduction from Dave Avila. Sorry, Hugh4. So far, I've got nothing.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 460 with a prompt of, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Well, anyway, The Pariah Episode 3 should be out tomorrow. I'm way behind, of course, but it's only for those supporting me on Patreon.com, so the rest of you, I'll have to wait a week. I'll have it out then. I verbally wrote a story yesterday morning. It involved two people speaking with New Yorker accents. The man and the woman made humorous comments on twists of word meaning, which were somewhat dependent on the way they spoke to have the greatest impact. I tried repeating the dialogue with different accents and inflections, but the effect just wasn't the same. I was in a hurry to get to work, so I thought I'd just write it down later. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember the story. It would have been great, but now I've got nothing. More or less. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here for another cheerful entry that I'm going to submit for Weekly Challenge 460. I've got nothing. I've lost my house, my office, my practice, my dignity, and my bar license. I've not held myself up to the high standards of an institution that cannot even stand up for itself. I've bought into every lie about the American dream, working hard for little or nothing, holding up ideals for a society that has none. I'm now told I'm a loser, a taker. I've got nothing. I am nothing, and therefore I will always be nothing. Sorry to disappoint. I am now the voice of the oppressed. The hell of your own creation you wish you never raised. And that's my cheerful entry this week. If you want to read more of my cheerful entries, please come to dannydwyer.wordpress.com, where I assure you, you will get something more than nothing. Have a great day.
Two Robbers Oino here with a story on I Got Nothing. I got plenty of nothing, the song goes, and nowhere is that more true than here at the offices of Plenty of Nothing Tax Accountants. Are you finding it hard to make ends meet on a $10 million income when the government takes away half of it in taxes year after year? Lay down your burden with us. Our skilled prestidigitators will magically cut away all of your profits and capital gains when the auditors call, while leaving your bank balance completely unharmed. Join our satisfied clients in the freedom of having plenty of nothing, and nothing will be plenty for you.
Take a trip with me to Planet Z.
Time Magazine's cover shows a baby that they say could live to 142 years old. Of course, if his mother is Jenny McCarthy, he could catch the mumps or some other deadly disease that could be prevented by a simple vaccination. He could also have a mother that doesn't believe in using a child's safety seat in the car, or make him wear a helmet while he's on a bike, or civilization could collapse from a jihadi uprising, food shortages, global warming. What good is living over a century when he's got nothing to look forward to?
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories on the topic of I've got nothing. The topic was I've got nothing, but you people obviously have something. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for caring. Thank you for trying. Thank you for vying. Although it's not really a competition, is it? I don't think so. I think we're competing with ourselves, with our inner laziness. Do you not want to be lazy? Do you want to show your creativity? Go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Learn about the weekly challenge. Be a part of it next week. Next topic is strike. So strike while the iron is hot. Let's make something out of it. Thank you all for listening and being a part of the weekly challenge this week and every upcoming week until the day I die. Then it's somebody else's problem. Until then, as always, keep it brief.